This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
If Jesus never comes. If Jesus never comes, you should be fine. But he says he's gonna come. One of my favorite preachers, Alejandro Bullion, tells the story of his childhood. When he was a child, his father was a miner. Somebody that would leave and go to work in the mine. And then at the end of the month, he would come home, spend a weekend with his family, and then go back and work in the mine, then bring the money back, and so on and so forth. Now, before he would leave, he would gather his children, 9 children, and he would give them assignments. He would give them a list of things that he wants to be completed by the end of his month. And when he speaks to his children say, "Yes, yes, Daddy, we are gonna do those things." Then he leaves. And a full week passes, and nothing happens. Nobody does anything. Then the second week passes, and nothing happens. Nobody does anything. And poor mom, she keeps telling them, "Hey, guys, hey, your father gave you some work to do. Don't waste your time just playing. You have to complete those things." But they go on having fun. Third week is passed. Nothing happened. 25 days are passed, and they didn't do anything. 28 days. Still nothing. And then, on the 29th day, they start working. They organize themselves. They run to and fro. And in 2 days, they complete everything. By the time Daddy is home, everything looks good. And when Daddy sees how beautifully everything has been completed, he says, "Wonderful. What amazing children I have. Only Mom knows." But then one day, Daddy leaves to go to the mine. And something happens at the mine. There's an accident there, and some people even die. So now administration has to work on fixing the problem, and they send everybody home. So in 5 days after he left, Daddy is back. And guess what? Everything in disarray. Nobody has been doing anything. That's the moment when he has to face reality. His children, he thought were angels, were not the children he thought they were. Now, if he had never come back early, everything would have been fine. If Daddy didn't come, they would be just fine. If Jesus never comes, you should be fine. Right? If Jesus never comes, hey, I should be fine. I would be the best. I mean, can anybody challenge that? Let's pray. Lord, the message you've given me is a heavy one. But I know it's your message. And I pray for power from the Holy Spirit to be able to deliver it and bring Jesus out. Lift him up in his name. Amen. Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 1. Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, meaning I will do justice to her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect? His own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Or another translation says, will he keep putting them off? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, and that's where the message is coming this morning. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? It's so beautiful to speak about Jesus' coming. Most of the time when we preach about Jesus' coming, we speak about the splendor and the triumphalist part of it. For some reason, God gave me a message that has to bring awareness to you and to me. Because the question is, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We have preached a lot of this passage, Luke chapter 18. I heard a lot of sermons about how steadfast we have to be in our prayer, how we should not give up on prayer, how God answers prayer, especially when we cry out because of the injustice that we suffer. Beautiful sermons, all good. But then I have not heard a sermon on this last part of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I haven't heard a sermon on this maybe since my childhood. I know I heard a sermon in my childhood about this particular last part of this verse, because I remember myself thinking after the sermon, I was out in the country, a small village, and I was thinking, how can Jesus even ask this question? Because in my village alone, we are 30, 70 Adventists. You know, the limited way of thinking about life and reality. Yeah, I mean, when he comes, at least he should find us, shouldn't he? Then, as my horizon as a child has started growing, I realized there were Seventh-day Adventists in some other places as well. And now I know a Seventh-day Adventist church is a worldwide movement. But for some reason, I don't even understand completely why, when Jesus told his parable about prayer and about how God intervenes for his people, and yes, he intervenes quickly for them, he asked this question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth. And when I look around today and I analyze reality from the perspective of what the Bible says, then I start understanding what Jesus means. When I come, he says, will I really find faith on earth? Because reading Matthew 24, especially verse 24, I got to know something very, very sober. Jesus says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, the parable says, wouldn't he, God, intervene for his elect? Yeah, he would. The problem is, some realities are happening in the last days before his coming, when even the elect, if possible, will be led astray. So then, will he find faith? Faith. What is faith? Faith is not only belief. Yes, faith is belief, but not only belief. Faith is also trust. Because the word pistis in Greek that translates the word emunah from the Hebrew is not a theoretical reality, it's a relational reality. It is not only believe, I believe you, it's also I trust you. It's relational, I trust you. More than that, it is also faithfulness. Because faithfulness is faith's fullness. So it's belief, it's what? Trust and faithfulness. That's faith. So with this definition, which is the biblical definition of what faith is, just go to some of the very well-known Bible passages like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So then I'm asking you, in what sense through faith? Through belief? Through trust? Through faithfulness? And the answer is yes. All three of them. Belief, trust, and faithfulness. Yes, you can say that we are saved by grace and through belief, because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith has a theoretical foundation. You can call that belief. You believe something. That's how faith starts. But faith has to be completed, and belief has to be followed by trust. If I only believe some stuff, but I have no trust in the Savior that brings those stuff, then what did I do? Did I have faith or not? Not really. And of course, the culmination of faith is faith's fullness, which is faithfulness. I do what I believe. Go to the other very well-known passage, one of the foundational Bible verses of what it means to be saved by grace. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. This is how the Apostle Paul says, for in it, meaning in the gospel, which is the power of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From belief to belief, from what God believes to what you believe. From trust, God trusting you, into you trusting Him. From faithfulness, God being faithful to you, to you being faithful to God. Because it says, quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by what? By faith. So is it by belief, by trust, or by faithfulness? The answer again is yes. by belief, by trust, and by faithfulness. That's how you are saved. And it's so beautiful to realize that it's God the one that initiates. That's why it's salvation by His belief, it's by His trust in you, it's by His faithfulness to you, not yours. But this is how it operates. He believes something, you believe what He believes. He trusts you, you trust Him. He's faithful to you, you are faithful to Him. His faithfulness generates, gives birth to your faithfulness. That's what salvation is about. And look in the practical terms what God says about Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, what is it? Belief, trust, or faithfulness? Yes, belief, trust, and faithfulness. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Yes, he obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And yet, because that's faith, it's not only believing that God has something somewhere for you. It's not only trusting that, yeah, He could possibly take you there. It's being faithful to Him. And if He said, get out and go, then you stand up and go. That's what faithfulness is. And now, with this in mind, we have to do what the Apostle Paul says. Test yourself. Check yourself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Test yourself. See, what do you believe? Do you believe what He believes? Do you trust? Do you trust Him the way He trusts you? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to Him the way He is faithful to you? Test yourself. And doing this examination, this self-examination, of course, it has to start with me. Of course, I have to extend it to my church family. And of course, I have to extend it to the Seventh-day Adventist Church and to Christianity by and large. Are we believing what God believes? Do we trust Him the way He credits us with His trust? Are we faithful to Him the way He is faithful to us? And doing this analysis for my own life first, I kind of got to the conclusion that we are like the man that keeps resetting his watch and never has the right time. He's resetting it again and again, but never the right time. He would stop every morning in front of the booth of the watchmaker. You know, in the past, you had those watchmakers that repaired watches or clocks. He would stop there and he would reset his watch. He would do that every morning. One day, the watchmaker notices him and asks him, sir, what are you doing here every morning? And he tells him, look, I come here every morning because, hey, you must have the right time, right? Because you are the watchmaker. So I come here every morning and reset my watch according to your time because you have the exact time. And you know, I'm in charge of the shifts of the factory across the road, and I go from here, take the right time from here, and put it on the clock that is on the frontispiece of the factory. So I want to make sure the clock of the factory always has the right time, never too fast, never late. And the watchmaker listened to him and I said, beautiful. I do the exact same thing. Every morning when I come here, I come early, I stop in front of the factory, I look up and see the big clock on the frontispiece, I reset my time, and then I bring it here and reset my clock here. You know, and resetting your time, you go round and round, and actually what you have is nothing else but recycling time. Yes, we have to reset our faith. And we have been resetting our faith so many times that we have to realize we have actually been recycling our unfaithfulness. Going back again, and you know how we do it? We take Jesus Christ and we reset his faithfulness according to our faithfulness, and then we reset our faithfulness according to his faithfulness that has been reset according to our faithfulness. And you go around and round and round, and the lucky go round until you faint. Very, very weird reality. Let me go deeper and illustrate how this really happens. And I would like to start with some images, illustrations that come from outside of the religious realm, and then come into our world. Public health reality. You know, in the past, like a few decades ago, if you went to the doctor and you did a blood test, you would come with some results. They would give you the result sheets, and you would have to compare your result with what they called reference range, okay? You have two numbers, and if you are within normal limits, then you have to have your result between those reference numbers. What few people know, though, is that the reference range can change. Because the reference range is based on a reference group from the population. So what is happening is the population is getting sicker and sicker. So in time, at least some of the reference ranges can change. So you shouldn't be surprised if you go today and do some blood tests and your result is perfect in that reference range, a current reference range. If you had had that back in the day, then you would have been suspected to be sick. Now you are just fine. Question is, are you fine? You should be fine, right? You should be fine. Another illustration from the legal system. You know, back in the day, you knew for some criminal acts, and yes, there were injustices in those days and there are today too, but I'm talking about a phenomenon. Please get the idea. So you knew in those days for some criminal acts there were punishments, severe punishments, even capital punishment, which was execution, death penalty. Now, with time, many people committed those kind of crimes. So now lawmakers came back and they said, hey, we need a reset. And they said, okay, so what are we going to do? Because too many people getting in jail, too many people executed, so what should we do? We work at the legislation. We transform legislation. So now today, some of the criminals that were very bad looking in the past, now they are even good looking. You understand what happened? There was a reset. What did we reset? Did we reset behavior? No. We reset the standards against which we judge behavior. And now let me come to the church. You know, historically, the Seventh-day Adventist Church had a focus on faithfulness. And if you go to the book Seventh-day Adventists Believe, which presents the 28 fundamental beliefs or pillars of faith in some other language, you can find in one of the chapters that we have a doctrine. It's called the doctrine of the Christian life. Have you heard about it? The doctrine of the Christian life. And this is what it's about. The law of God, the Sabbath, stewardship, Christian behavior, marriage and family. Beautiful stuff, right? Now, go to the church manual. If you go to the church manual, you will find that there is a chapter called Standards of Christian Living. Let me read some of those subtitles. High Calling of God in Christ Jesus, Bible Study and Prayer, Community Relationships, Sabbath Keeping, Reverence in the Place of Worship, Health and Temperance, Dress, Simplicity, Modern Media, Recreation and Entertainment, Music, and so on and so forth. Now, if you know Pastor Joe, you know that he is not a fanatic of these books. No. He's not against them. But he knows these books can be reviewed and revised. What he knows also is that this book cannot be reviewed or revised. But what I'm pointing out is that historically, we have been having a focus on faithfulness to God. It was not only we want to believe the right thing, and we maybe want to trust in the right person. We wanted to be faithful to God. And when it comes to faithfulness, then there are practical things that you and I, we want to practice, we want to do in response to God's faithfulness to us. That's called obey God. Trust and obey. Does that make sense? Okay. But now, the tendency we have is those things that we knew were standards, were requirements, if you want, were practical Christianity, those things tend to become more theoretical realities. So we still believe them, but the question is, do we practice them? And from time to time, you will hear in the church somebody saying, and sometimes you will hear it from the general conference down, that we should do revival and reformation, right? Very usual language, revival and reformation. And what do we do when we do revival and reformation? Do we have a reset of our faithfulness according to His faithfulness? A reset of our trust according to His trust? A reset of our belief according to His belief? Or we have a recycling of our unfaithfulness. You may think, okay, so what are you saying, Pastor Joe? Let me give you practical examples. You know that the Ninth Commandment says you should not bear false witness against your neighbor, right? But you just had a critical situation and you got out of the trouble lying about your neighbor, and now your neighbor is in trouble. Your reaction to that act normally is a sense of guilt, right? I mean, you know you didn't do the right thing, so you have a sense of guilt. So then what do? Well, you need to reset somehow. So you go to somebody and tell the person, hey, this is what I did. But the person was taught, hey, listen, salvation is by faith. Meaning, salvation is to believe the right thing. Because that's somehow that we got our teaching twisted. And since that's what salvation is, your brother or sister would tell you, listen, I understand you, yeah. You know, to tell you the truth, everybody kind of does the same thing. So, you should be fine. And if Jesus never comes, I have to agree, right? If Jesus never comes, then you should be fine, right? But Jesus said, when I come, would I find faithfulness? Two, right? Not only belief, not only trust, faithfulness. Would I try find faithfulness on the earth? Let me give you another example. You somehow lost your spouse, maybe a divorce, maybe your spouse died, but you are now technically you're single. I'm saying technically, because that can mean a lot of things. Because from time to time, you meet with this young man or young lady, or not so young. You have this person that you see, you have your behaviors, and normally, technically, you should even change your status now, because are you single or you're not? And you know you have some moral values, you know what God asks from you, you know what God's faithfulness is about. And when you do those things, you have guilt. There's no way to sin and not sense that you've sinned. So then you come to somebody, maybe a counselor, and the counselor listens to you and tells you, yeah, you know, we are in the 21st century. Everybody knows where we are at. You think God doesn't know? He knows it too. So listen, from my perspective, I mean, you should be fine. And I have to agree, if Jesus never comes, then you should be fine. But Jesus said, when I'm coming, I'm going to be looking to see whether I can or not find faith. Yes, including faithfulness on the earth. Is it heavy, right? It's kind of very hard to swallow, because we were taught, you know, salvation is by faith. Don't mess with people's life. And I don't want to mess with people's life. That's why I generalize, because making it particular can be even stronger. Let me generalize again, because we are Seventh-day Adventists, most of us, and if you are not, you may still know that in the Bible, God says that the seventh day is the day of rest. But as a Seventh-day Adventist, you know, because your church also teaches that, it's in your name, and your church teaches that because it's a Bible, the Bible that informs your church's teaching, not your church's teaching the Bible. So, based on the Bible, you know that you should not be working on a Sabbath day, right? But you are not a first responder, you are not a medical professional, so that people's life depend on your work. And yet, from time to time, you would go to work, because you feel like you have to go. And then you come to your elder or to your pastor because you have a sense of guilt. You want to confess. And you will tell your elder or your pastor, you know, this is what I'm going through. And it's time for reset. So the question is, are you going to reset to God's faithfulness or going on recycling unfaithfulness? I was taught, I don't know who taught me, but they taught you too, that it's better not to mess with your life. So you come to me and confess, and I will tell you, you know, 21st century, God knows. From time, if it's not every Sabbath, from time to time, hey, listen, you should be fine. And if Jesus never comes, then I agree, you should be fine. But Jesus says, I'm coming, and when I'm coming, I want to see if I can find faithfulness on this earth. So please see the perversity of this process. When I sin, and I know I sin, I feel guilt. And I need a reset. I need to be freed. But if I go to the wrong person, to the wrong people, I trust the right person, the wrong person, and I go to the wrong authority, then what happens is I will get a reset. I will be told, yeah, you're fine, you should be fine. And I feel good, I feel relief. And now I'm good to go another round and commit other sinful things. And I go to the person, to the authority, to the church maybe, that teaches me awkward things, and I will get a reset my guilt. But did they reset my faithfulness to God's faithfulness? And this is how you can become a Seventh-day Adventist in the 21st century. And I can be the same. Where I believe all kinds of things, and I can even have solid beliefs. And I can trust even God, the God of my imagination, and even be faithful now and then. But are you faithful indeed if you are faithful now and then? Is that what faithfulness is about? You know, in a time when they were doing some cleanup and remodeling at a place of worship, some people found a book. A man with a long beard found the book of the law, and he just passed it to the scribe, and he told his scribe, you know, take it to the king. And the king took the book, looked at it, and told the scribe, hey, Shaphat, read this book for me, please. And he read the book. And when the king heard what was in the book, he said, well, you know, these are all good old stuff. It should be fine. That's what the king said. No. The Bible says the king tore his garments and he started crying. And he told his counselors, go and ask the Lord for me. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 21, the Lord answers to the king. And this is what the Lord says. 27. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God. When you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you. And that's the attitude. That's the right attitude. We have started as a church to read through the Bible throughout the year. And we are now at the fifth book of the law. And some of you are doing the same. Some of you are watching the Q&As. I want just to ask you, do you realize, have you noticed how far away we have gone from God's word and from God's world? That's one kind of attitude. The other kind of attitude is, you know, yeah, interesting, good old stuff. We should be fine. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith, belief, trust, faithfulness on earth? In me. The good thing is you always have a point of reference. You don't have a range of reference. You have a point of reference. Jesus Christ. And if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, you will see that God says, if we are faithless or unfaithful, He remains faithful. Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. That's who He is. That's how He is. Yes, He is faithful. And if we are to reset our faithfulness, we have to go to His faithfulness. That's the point of reference. Otherwise, we can go on recycling unfaithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, says the apostle, looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's like a sniper, is that the right word? Sniper, the one that looks in that objective. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, of our belief, of our trust, of our faithfulness, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's the trajectory. And I am supposed to look at Him. When I look at Jesus Christ, I can be sure that my belief, my trust, my faithfulness, my faith is gonna be like His. That's what it means. Righteousness from faithfulness to faithfulness. From trust to trust. From belief to belief. The question is, however, when the Son of Man will come, will He find faith on earth? You answer.
Bye.
Heavenly Father, this is your word, the foundation of our belief, trust, and faithfulness. As your children, we often realize we needed to reset our belief, trust, and faithfulness. But instead, we had a false reset and we went on recycling unbelief, untrust, unfaithfulness. Lord, we are repenting and coming back to you. And we pray that through the Holy Spirit that we will be able to tap into his power. And following Jesus Christ, our faith, belief, trust, and faithfulness will be reset according to your word, according to him, the word incarnate. That's our desire. In his name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.